This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly 60 minutes of old-time radio crime, brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from The Saint. You'll hear Simon Carries the Ivy from April 1st, 1951. After that, it's Philo Vance and the Prize Ring Murder Case. His story from June 20th, 1950.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Coming, coming.
Good morning, Templar. Get you out of bed?
Well, I...
You young fellow, stay out too late, get up too late, and no exercise. Flabby, every one of you.
It's only that my rowing machine sprang a leak a little while back.
Rationalization.
Well, they're rationing everything these days. Come in, Mr.
You know me, Templar Barnhart. Buzz Barnhart. I used to see you at the frat house when you were at State. The grip, brother.
What? Oh, yes, the grip. As if I could ever forget. How does it go again, huh?
If you're trying to joke, Templar, there are two things I never joke about. The university, the fraternity.
Won't you sit down, Mr. Barnhart?
Buzz.
You played football, didn't you?
Football? I was before your time, Templar, but my old jersey still hangs in the frat house. The one I wore when I scored the touchdown against Michigan. All-America in 1926. And in 1926, football was football. Remember that.
Football was football. I got it.
Templar, you've made quite a reputation as the Saint. That's why I've come to you. There's a force of evil loose on the campus of our alma mater, Templar. A force of evil. Read this.
I know all about you and Angie. Let me tell you what will happen if you keep on seeing her. First, you will be... This was written by a very sick mind, Mr. Barnhart.
Obviously. A poison pen note. And I have reason to believe that every man showing interest in Angela has received one.
Oh, who is Angela?
My daughter. And a senior at the university. Young and very beautiful.
Oh, I'm sure of it. But I don't quite see, Mr. Barnhart, that is Buzz, that there's anything that I can
Templar, the young student who received this note, Jim Fuller, disregarded it. Last night he was seized from behind and choked unconscious. If his assailant hadn't been frightened off by other students approaching, I firmly believe Fuller would have been killed.
Well, then it's a matter for the police.
The police? Templar, the police, let alone not being state men, are not even university men. You see how impossible it is?
But I still don't see how I...
There is no higher duty than the duty we all owe our alma mater. Though we may wander far, when she issues a call, we must answer. Templar, her reputation is threatened. She needs you.
Buzz, for university, for fraternity, the grip.
The grip, brother.
Yeah. Oh.
Then it's all settled. I'll tell Dean Matthews to expect you.
Oh, is Dean Matthews still there? Gosh, he must be 180 years old by now.
Of course. He no longer handles the administrative duties, but he insists on knowing everything that's going on.
Well, I'll see him in the morning and arrange to take some refresher courses.
Very intelligent. Excite less suspicion.
Yeah. You might give me the names of the students your daughter has been seeing.
Well, Angela Zarul doesn't care too much for the company of students, Templar. She prefers older men.
Oh, how about Fuller?
Fuller is, I believe, more of a convenience than anything else. College dances and so on. Angela, I say this without conceit, you understand, prefers someone cast more in the image of her father. Younger, naturally.
Yeah, well, can you give me the names of any of these images?
She has been somewhat circumspect. You might try Professor Hobson, a young instructor in psychology. Around 35, quite handsome.
Yeah. Angela must be a very attractive girl.
Angela is an attractive woman, as you will find out.
Is anything in particular meant by that, Mr. Barnard?
Just caution, Mr. Templar. I know my daughter.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. For alma mater, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
The grip.
The grip. Good afternoon, Dean. My name is...
Come in, Templar. How's that? I never forget a face. Never. Understand you're coming back with us again.
Well, in a way, yes.
Good. Finish the job this time, my boy. Graduate. Make up your mind to it, and you'll do it.
Dean, I think you have me confused with...
Nonsense, nonsense. I remember you perfectly. Left here last semester, didn't you?
As a matter of fact, Dean, I graduated from this fair tower of learning quite a number of... Well, a fair number of years ago. The reason I'm here just now is to audit a few courses, any courses, in connection with an investigation I'm making for Mr. Barnhart.
But I understand all this.
Oh, good.
I understand your needs exactly.
Fine.
Angela Barnhart is a very interesting young woman.
But now, don't tell me you've received a note, too.
How's that, young man?
Nothing, sir. Now, about those courses, Dean...
My assistant will arrange things with the registrar. I know exactly what you want.
Oh, splendid.
And this semester, Templar, make up your mind to buckle down to work. No more cutting classes. A job worth doing is worth doing well.
Dean,
assiduity, stick-to-itiveness, and a constant image before you of your parents' proud smile when you bring home that diploma.
You touched me.
Study hard, think straight, and resolve to be the kind of a success which in later life will enable you to contribute generously to the alumni fund.
Professor Hobson?
Yes?
My name is Templar, Simon Templar. I'm auditing your Psychology 1.
With what in mind, Templar?
Do I impress you as a typical undergraduate type?
No.
No, I was afraid not. Then I'd better be frank. I understand poison pen notes are circulating on the campus, Hobson, and further that you yourself may have received one.
Yes.
Well, I've been asked by Buzz Barnhart to find the author of the notes.
I hope you can. I hope you can.
Can you contribute to anything further than just hope?
Templar, I suppose you know that I'm implicated in this.
It has been suggested, yes.
I have one of the notes. Have you seen them? Here.
It's pretty much like the other I saw. Have you heeded the warning to stay away from Angie?
No. Or rather, Angie hasn't stayed away from me. That sounds egotistical, but then you don't know Angie. Or do you?
No, I'm still looking forward to it.
Don't. I still don't know how this thing got started, Templar. Every young professor gets a certain amount of flattering attention from the co-eds, but... this is different, vastly different. Angie's a woman, tremendously attractive and tremendously evil.
You really feel that?
Yes. And no. No, no one that young is evil. Give them time. Angie is twisted, badly so. Her family, her father is... oh, I can't even be objective enough about the girl to analyze what's wrong.
Have any ideas about the author of the notes?
No. Someone badly neurotic, perhaps dangerously neurotic, that's obvious. Total lack of adjustment to realities. Perhaps these traits are apparent on the surface, perhaps not. It could be anyone.
You make my chances of finding him or her appear rather gloomy, Hobson.
Why not? A neurotic, a psychotic in college ranks these days, we turn them out on an assembly line. I'm somewhat of an escapist, Templar. I sought a professorial post as a refuge, a serene and lofty observation point. Let others compete, struggle, become ulcer-ridden, not for me.
Well, you could have chosen a better historical period.
Any historical period. Have you any idea what goes on in a university today, Templar? Just last June, we graduated most of our veterans. We got back to normalcy. 6 months later, 9 out of every 10 men in college are 1A. Now try instilling the old college spirit in these boys... try getting them to study their homework so their mothers will be proud of them. Try getting them to conform to the nice, conservative, moral standards which prevailed when you and I went to college. Oh. Well,
happily, I don't have to try. I only have to catch someone who's been writing letters. Do you have any ideas about anyone else who might have received one of these Valentines?
You know about young Fuller?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't really count him anyhow. Try our esteemed football coach, Buddy Ritko.
A football coach hasn't enough worries? He has to go out and choose more?
You don't choose Angie Templer. She chooses you.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks for your help, Hobson. And I'd be a little careful about walking around alone after dark till this thing is cleared up. You might be in danger.
Unless, of course, I was the author of these letters.
Well, there's always that possibility, yes.
In any case, I wish you success.
In any case?
In any case. The ivory tower has come crashing down. This bruised and soiled occupant has no further distance to fall. Well, see you in class, Templer.
Oh, if I don't get hurt in football practice, yes.
Oh, yes. Our Mr. Ritko, a character builder.
A character builder? Or a winning football coach?
He combines the aggressiveness of a hungry shark with the ethics of a professional stool pigeon.
A winning coach. See you in class, Professor.
All right, break it up, boys. Hit the showers.
I beg your pardon. My name is Templer, Mr. Ritko.
Oh, an alumnus? Well, what's the complaint, Mr. Templer?
No complaint, Coach. Just a little information.
Oh, you want to know why we dropped two games last fall? Well, the ball was slippery and our quarterback was stupid.
No, not that kind of information. I wanted some information about Angela Barnhart. Angela and you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're pretty nosy even for an alum. Come on in the office.
Oh, thank you.
You haven't been writing me letters on the subject of Angela.
So you got one, too. May I see it?
Sure. Here.
It's pretty nasty.
Oh, I've gotten worse. You should see them when I lose a football game.
The man who wrote this might be dangerous, Ritko.
I can handle myself.
Yeah, you look like you can. Any aversions to telling me what there is between you and Angela?
None. Except that it's none of your business?
Oh, yeah. Her father asked me to investigate these letters.
Oh, good old Buzz. I met Angie through him. He's the kind you find on every campus, if you're unlucky. He's still back in 1926 when he was a star. Nobody knows anything about football but him. Least of all, me.
What about Angie?
She's the kind you meet on the campus if you're lucky.
Aren't you a little old for her, Ritko?
She likes it that way.
Couldn't this be trouble?
It's worth it.
All these notes were typewritten. You don't have a typewriter, do you, Coach?
Look, these letters were written by a nut. I didn't have time to go to class when I went to college, but I'm smart enough to figure that. Am I nutty enough to be doing it? 43 coaches last year had nervous breakdowns. A lot more are acting strange, but the man with the net hasn't gotten them yet. Am I one of them? I'll pay your money and take your choice. Now, beat it. I'm busy.
You're a hard man, Mr. Ritko.
Yeah.
Oh, there you are, Templer. I'd heard you'd come down to the gym.
How are you, Mr. Barnhart?
Buzz. Oh, you've met our friend Ritko.
Arms around the neck, chums, Buzz.
Good. Templer, Angela's waiting outside. She wants to meet you.
I'm sure the desire is mutual. But don't you want to hear about...
Tell me later. Right now, I'm going to stay here and show Ritko some plays Pop Warner used in the single wing. Some real plays, Ritko.
Oh, sure, Buzz, sure. Jim dandies.
Well, the trouble with you, Ritko, is that you don't understand the fundamentals of the... What are you waiting for, Templer?
A break in the conversation.
Run along, Templer, and I wish you luck. You'll need it.
And you too.
This? I'm used to it. Angie, you're not used to. Right, Buzz?
Badly put, but right. Now, here's an off-tackle smash.
Sorry, I can't stay with you happy people.
Now, what was that you were going to tell me about Pop Warner?
Oh, some play.
You would be Simon.
Yeah, and you would be Angie. Yes, you very definitely would be Angie. Heard a lot about you, to coin a cliche.
And now, what do you think?
I don't know you well enough to tell you.
Well, then let's get better acquainted. Come on, walk me to class, Simon.
I hope it's a long walk and a short class.
You're very smooth, Simon. Lots of practice? Yes, you've had lots of practice.
Don't you think we'd better talk about the letters, Angela?
We must. I don't consider them particularly important. They're ugly and they're stupid and they're written by a man. That's all I know.
Why are you so sure they're written by a man? Because they're ugly and stupid?
Yes. But not you, Simon. Not you.
Angie? Angie, I've been looking for you.
Oh, hello, Jim. Jim Fuller, Simon Templer.
Oh, how are you, Jim?
Great. You work fast, Mr. Templer.
Now, don't make a scene, Jimmy.
Scenes? Scene? What do you expect when you practically push my face down in the dirt and rub my nose in it?
No one's asking you to keep bringing your face around, Jimmy.
Angie,
Go away, Jimmy. Go away.
All right, Angie. I'll see you later, maybe.
Wasn't that a little cruel? Oh,
Jimmy's a child, really a child.
And you're pushing 70, of course.
Don't talk down to me, Simon. And don't try to erect any barriers by talking about my age. People only erect barriers who are frightened.
Psychology one?
Experience two. Meet me tonight at the stadium, Simon?
Game tonight?
No game. Just ask. We can climb the stairs to the press box and look out over the whole campus. Not afraid of heights, Simon?
Just high heels, my dear.
I'll see you around 9, Simon.
Well, don't keep me out too late. I've got to carry the ivy this year.
Carry the ivy?
College slang of another day, meaning to graduate.
I'll get you home very early, Simon. In fact, I'll take very good care of you. I'll see you tonight.
See you tonight, Angie. Ooh, it's a little warm today.
Templer.
Who's that?
Jim Fuller.
Oh. How are you, Jim?
Don't try to be friendly, Templer. I know you're going to meet Angie.
Oh, I shouldn't have bragged to the boys at the frat house.
Not funny, Templer.
Oh, I suppose it isn't. I'm sorry, Jim.
It's all right. I don't count. I'm worried about Angie.
Oh, come on. We can talk as we go, Jim.
It's not natural to be like she is.
Give you a rough go?
Not only me, all men. It's kind of like she's revenging herself on him for something.
Well, how about this, this preference for older men?
That's her pattern. Hobson, Ritko, you, and a lot of others.
Mm-hmm. How long does it usually last?
Not long. She cuts them up, too. What causes it, Templer? What is it? I want to help her, but I can't reach her.
What's the matter?
Over by the light tower alongside the stadium.
Hmm? I don't see any.
Lying on the concrete. Come on.
Huh?
It's a man.
Yeah. It was a man. Before he fell from a long way up.
Who is it?
Better not look, Jim. It's pretty nasty. Professor Hobson.
Hobson? What happened to him?
He fell or jumped or was pushed. Whatever it was, he won't be able to tell us.
He's dead?
The ivory tower has come crashing down. Looks like the writer of these letters wasn't fooling, Jim. Find Angie and take her home. I've got work to do. Good morning, Dean.
Oh, Templar. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
Shocking thing about Hobson. Shocking. Accident, of course.
What makes you think so?
My dear fellow, Hobson was one of our professors. How could it be anything else?
Dean, do you think he was climbing light towers at the stadium just for exercise?
Officially, yes. Actually, no. But whatever it was, I don't want to know. I mean, well, the good name of the university, Templar. You can see that.
A man has been killed, Dean. The police are investigating.
But we don't need to tell them about the letters, do we? That is to say, do we?
I'm afraid we do, Dean. Hobson didn't fall from the light tower. He fell, but from somewhere else. His body was moved to the base of the tower.
You're making things up, Templar. It was an accident.
I think it was murder.
Murder? Templar, I must ask you not to use that word. No state man was ever murdered. Keep that in mind. Now, I'm very busy this morning.
Dean,
remember, Templar, in this country, a boy can be anything he wants to be, if he makes up his mind to it. Study hard. Save your pennies, And you'll get there.
Swell.
And now, if you'll excuse me, by the way, Templar, here's a note for you that was left at my office this morning.
A note for me? Oh, thank you. I know all about you and Angie. If you don't stop seeing her, I will... It looks like I'm on the list, Dean. Another letter written in poison.
I don't believe it.
Look here, read it for yourself.
No, I don't want to read it. Templar, if it's someone in this college, then somehow I've failed, haven't I? I mean, this age, these times, things have somehow gone wrong. Haven't they?
Yes, Dean. Somehow things have gone very wrong.
Templar, wait up! I've been looking for you.
Oh, hello, Barnhart. I've been looking for you, too. I got a little note this morning, dripping with venom.
No. There's a force of evil loose on this campus, Templar. You've got to find it, and quickly. Spring football practice starts next month.
Oh, we'll clear it up before then. Tell me, how's Angie taking Hobson's death?
How should she take it? What was Hobson to her?
More than a friend, I should say.
True, but Angela's not for brooding. She wanted me to remind you that you didn't keep your date last night.
Hardly.
She said she would be at the same place tonight. Didn't tell me where, but I guess you'd know.
Yes, I suppose I would.
Fine girl, Angela. You're lucky that she singled you out for attention. She has, you know. You're very lucky.
I could be the luckiest man in the cemetery.
Say, you could at that, Templar. Well, that's the way things go. That's just the way things go. Yes, sir, that's just...
Buzz, if you don't mind, I haven't gone yet. I'll see you at the 50-yard line.
Hello, Mr. Templar.
Jim. Well, it seems I meet you at the same spot every night.
I know you're going to meet Angie. I followed her and saw her go up to the press box.
You seem to get around, Jim. Now, tell me something. Where did you find Angie last night after I told you to get her and take her home? She wasn't up in the press box.
No. She was coming from the other direction.
I'm glad.
Why? You think Professor Hobson jumped from the press box?
Jumped? No. Would you do me a favor, Jim? Wait at the foot of these stairs. Don't let anyone come up. Would you do that?
Why should I?
Because I think I can solve this thing tonight. Is that reason enough?
Oh, sure.
Good. Wish me luck.
Huh?
Not with Angie. Just luck. See you later, Jim. Anybody here?
Just me, son.
Oh, Angie.
You short of breath, son?
Yeah, the stairs.
Oh, what a disappointment.
Where are the lights, Angie?
There aren't any. You're the first one who ever wanted any.
Angie, I want you to listen and answer my questions. I didn't come up here to hold hands with you or whatever it is they're doing in college these days.
Same thing as in your day, Simon.
Angie, a man's been killed. I don't know how to make it register with you or how to get you to drop the role of the femme fatale and face reality. A man's been killed because of you.
I know, and I'm afraid, Simon.
Good.
Terribly afraid.
Good, that's a start. Look, you're the key to this, Angie. What you are and what made you that way. This may sound strange, but... Do you remember your mother?
A little. My father was mean to her, and I hated him for it. But I love my father.
All right. Now, what was the first thing you remember about him?
I thought he wanted me to be a boy, football player. He didn't want a girl.
Yes. Hey, what was that?
What?
I thought I heard something. Angie, do you think your father loves you now? I don't want to ask you this, but I have to.
Of course he does. I think he enjoys my being able to make fools of men. He asks me about it.
Men younger than himself. And do you enjoy him?
Oh, I don't know. Paul Hobson told me that I was revenging myself for the way my father treated my mother, but I don't know.
Angela, do you think your father is rations.
Stop, please, please.
All right. Now, look, try and pull yourself together, Angie. I want to show you something. Come over here.
What?
I brought a flashlight so you could look at this typewriter. Read the story.
A young, tearing, slashing buzzsaw roared up and down the gridiron at State today. The fury of a man wearing the number 87. This must have been left in the typewriter from last fall.
Read the date line.
November 8th, 1926. I don't understand.
Read further.
Wearing the number 87, today a football immortal was born in the fire of competition. His name, Buzz Barnhart. But, Simon, what...
The person who wrote this wrote the poison pen notes. A very sick person, Angie. A person unable to face reality. Someone living in the past, still in that golden moment which was never afterward equaled. A sick brain who could sit up here and see himself down there on that empty football field and write stories about what used to be.
No.
They were better days than you ever saw, Templar. Far better.
Father.
Were you here all along, Buzz?
I just came up. You told young Fuller not to let anyone up. Of course, Angie's father is different. I never thought much of Fuller anyway. He couldn't make our fraternity, Templar. Didn't even come out for football.
Take it easy, Buzz.
Wondering why I asked you here to catch the right of the notes, Templar?
A lot of criminals have it, Buzz, the subconscious desire for punishment.
Nonsense. You were the only one against whom it was fun to compete. A state man.
Father, how could you? How could
you? Don't worry, Angie. We'll still be all right.
Oh, Father.
Those fools with their youth will still come flocking, and you'll send them all away because they can't measure up to me. That's it, isn't it? Their youth doesn't mean anything, does it?
You can't bring back your own youth, Buzz. Let it go.
Let it go? I'm still twice the man any of you are. Look at Hobson. I picked him up like a baby, and he's 20 years younger. And I'll do the same for you.
Father, don't!
Stay back, Buzz. Give it up.
I saw you looking at her. I saw you. You're all alike, you young men. Come here, Templar. Come here.
No, Father, no!
Listen to me, Buzz.
Now, it's 100 feet straight down. Let's see how young you look lying on the concrete, Templar. Let's see.
Mr. Barnhart!
Fuller, why you...
Look out, Jim. Look out!
Dad!
Oh. Don't look, Angie. Don't look. You all right, Jim?
I guess so. I dodged, and he...
Yes, I know. He made his last run. Take Angie home, will you?
Well, I...
Jim, will you?
Oh, sure, Angie.
I'll stay with Buzz. He'd like that. Fraternity brothers.
Templar, I want to congratulate you on the way you've handled this thing. Exemplary.
Well, I thought it was better for Angie's sake to put her father's death down to pure accident, Dean. Also Hobson's. Not the truth, but there are times to look the other way.
Exactly. Times to look the other way. Very well put. And, of course, who are we to say that they weren't pure accident, both of them?
Dean.
And I'm not at all sure that Barnhart's mind wasn't sound as a dollar. After all, wasn't he All-American?
Dean.
And chairman of our alumni fund? What more proof do you want?
All right, Dean. It never happened, any of it. Satisfied?
Yes, indeed. Proves what I've always said. Can't beat a college education. Send us the boy and we send you back the man. As the twig is bent, so the tree shall grow.
I'll remember, Dean.
Do so, and above all, keep a sound grip on reality. Well, good luck in your final exams, Templar.
Thank you, sir.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here's our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast you heard Mary Shipp as Angela and Ed Begley as her father. Earl Ross was the Dean, Whitfield Connors Hobson, Fred Shields Ritko, and Lamont Johnson Jim. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Dick Powell. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. This afternoon, be sure to hear The Big Show, and Theater Guild on the Air presents The Fallen Idol with Walter Pidgeon on NBC.
Shoulder, Joy boy. Just a little more. You take a shower, you get dressed.
Yeah, Pop.
Yeah. Who's that?
Bill Harris.
Okay. Who invites who into my dressing room?
Never mind.
I beat it, both of you guys. Come on out.
Relax, Joey. Pop.
Yeah?
Out.
Now, wait a minute. Nobody throws my manager out of my place. You stick, Pop. I'll see you later, Joey. A couple of things I gotta do. So long. Well, Terrace, what is all this? I need you here like I need a hole in the head.
Well, why don't you relax, Joey? Sit down, Clumpy.
Sure, Mr. Terrace. Hey, there ain't no chairs.
Don't let a little thing like that stop you. Joey, how'd you like to make some money? Big money. Easy money.
How would you like me to throw you out on your ear? Look, Terrace, I don't like you. I don't like guys like you. I'm a fighter. I got two hands. I got a head.
With nothing in it, you wouldn't be loosening your lid without listening.
Look, maybe I didn't make myself plain. I don't like you. I don't like gamblers. The only thing I like to do is fight. But I fight honest.
Sure. Now, look, Joey, that's fine. That's all wonderful. Ideals are wonderful things. You keep them. Only keep them in the background where they won't get in the way if you're making an easy dollar. Now, you fight tomorrow night. Now, I got a proposition for you.
I got one for you. I don't throw any fights for you or anybody else. So get out of here before I bounce you out. Are you getting?
Clumpy.
Sure, boss. Now?
Why not?
So you two are going to get tough. Good. That's just what I've been...
Nice work, Clumpy.
I done it, Mr. Terrace. Bonged him right on the skull. He'll sleep for a while.
That blackjack of yours provides a rather lethal lullaby, Clumpy.
And how?
Too bad you had to slug him. Too bad he wouldn't listen.
He's a jerk.
I didn't want him to throw any fight. The only thing I wanted was to be sure he was going to try to win tomorrow night.
Hey, take a look at these hands, honey.
Uh-huh.
They ain't very pretty, are they?
They are to me, Joey.
You got bum taste, honey. Bum taste in hands, bum taste in boyfriends. What do you want you to look like me?
What? Anybody else said that, Joey, I'd brain him.
That's my girl.
Anybody says anything different than that, I brain him, too.
You can't go around braining people just like that, honey.
Only one way to make me stop. That's the way. Well, I got a fight tomorrow night, and I'm keeping you awake, so I think...
Hi, kid.
Oh, Pop.
Hello, Pop. I was just leaving, so it's perfectly all right with me if you want to tuck your little lightweight into bed.
In a minute. You better wait a while, honey.
Oh, how bad can that be?
Hey, what's going on, Pop? Why did you walk out of the dressing room this afternoon when Phil Terrace told you to?
That's what's going on, Joey. That's what I want to talk to you about.
Well, I'm listening.
Terrace didn't want you to throw the bout tomorrow, Joey.
No? I'll bet.
He didn't. He's got a bundle going on you, same as I have. He's betting you to win.
What?
So what did he want, then?
Wanted to know Joey being there trying. What I think he's doing is building up Joey until I get Joey a big match. Then he's going to want Joey to lay down.
Hey, Pop, what kind of business is this? I'm a fighter. When I win, I win. When I lose, it's because some other guy hits harder. Now, let's skip all this talk about throwing fights. I got to get to sleep.
Sure, boy, sure.
Night, honey.
Night, Joey. Make it good tomorrow night. I'll be listening.
I'll do my best.
Sure.
How much dough we got going on this tomorrow night, Pop?
The bankroll, Joey. The works. $35,000 at even money.
What did I say to you, honey? Did I do my best?
That's what my boy said.
I'll take it back. For $35,000, I'll do even better than that.
Well, Vance, that's the end of the round. Good fight. Glad you came.
Definitely, Markham. I don't think our boy's going to last, though.
Joey Martin, I still think he'll win. The other fellow's tired.
He's tired of hitting Joey's chin so often. Incidentally, even though you are district attorney, you don't have too much drag in this town. I've been in better seats.
The fight was a sellout, and you didn't make up your mind about coming until the last moment. Besides, there wasn't any law against your trying to get the tickets.
There most certainly was. A law I wrote and passed myself. If I tried to get them, we'd be at home listening to this over the radio. I'll tell you something, Markham.
In which event, I'll listen.
Thank you. What I was about to say was that the managers really do a good job working over their fighters between rounds. Look at them over there.
They're certainly active, all right. Oh, there's a warning buzzer, Vance. 10 seconds to the next round.
Yes, I know.
A shot, Vance. Came from the back of the arena.
Well, I'm glad of that. I wonder what...
Help! Help somebody! Over here at ringside!
A shot fired in the back of the arena. A man stabbed at ringside. Come on, Vance. Let's find out what this is all about.
A long way to the ringside.
Excuse me. Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep your seats until the police arrive. Pop Manning, Joey Martin's manager, has been stabbed to death. Nobody is to leave this arena.
Vance, we're fighting a mystery all in one evening. I suppose you'll start work right now on finding out who killed Pop Manning.
I'm going to do twice as much work on that, Martin. I'm going to have to find the two people who were responsible for his death.
Two?
Yes, Markham, two. Don't you understand why? Yes, Miss Henderson?
Mr. Vance, Mr. Markham hasn't called in on his private line, has he?
No, I'm waiting here in his office in case he does, though.
Well, perhaps you ought to see this young lady in as much as Mr. Markham is out.
What young lady?
Well, she says she knows something about the killing of that fight manager last night. And she's here with me in the outer office now. Well,
please ask her to come in.
Yes, sir.
A girl with some information. Well, whatever it is, it'll help.
Mr. Vance?
Oh, yes. Come in, please.
Vance, my name is Collins. Honey Collins.
How do you do?
I came here to see the district attorney, but I wanted to meet you.
I'm flattered.
I've seen your pictures in the paper so often, I feel like I know you.
I'm using Mr. Markham's office temporarily. In fact, I'm waiting for him to come back from examining the people who were at the ringside of the fight last night.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you what I wanted to tell him. Pop Manning was killed by mistake.
He was?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure of it. I should know. I'm Joey Martin's girl.
You're the girlfriend of the fighter whom Manning managed.
That's right. And I'll tell you that somebody wanted to kill Joey. And Pop got it. Only he wasn't supposed to.
Who was it that wanted to kill your boyfriend?
A character named Phil Terrace. He's a gambler.
I've heard of him. What makes you think there was an error made, though?
Well, figure it out. There they were, Pop and Joey in Joey's corner.
I know. I was there.
Oh. Well, then you saw it, didn't you? Pop was bending over Joey, working on a cut on Joey's chin. The 10-second buzzer had sounded. Only Joey jumped up ahead of the bell to start the round, and Pop moved in to pick up a stool.
You're very observant.
Don't be silly. I wasn't even there. I can't watch Joey when he fights. Joey told me. This is his idea, not mine.
The idea being that when Joey moved and Pop took his place for a second, that's when the man who held the knife made his move.
Uh-huh. It was all timed.
I know how it was timed.
Oh?
It was timed so that once the shot was fired and the man with the knife started his move, he couldn't stop it. And I agree partially with what you've told me. I had an idea Pop Manning was killed in error.
You did?
Yes. Why would anybody want a manager dead? Want him dead so badly he took a chance killing him in front of 15,000 people?
Don't know.
All the things you've pointed out to me, I saw for myself.
Then I did right coming here.
You most certainly did. In fact, that's the district attorney's private phone. Excuse me just for a moment.
Sure.
Vance speaking.
Markham Vance.
Oh, yes, Markham.
We questioned everybody at the ringside. Everybody who had the slightest chance of getting near enough to Pop Manning to put a knife in him.
And
everybody swears he was aware of what the man next to him was doing at every moment between the time the shot was fired and the body was discovered. And nobody moved toward the ring.
Which they'd have to do in order to stab Manning, unless the knife was thrown.
It wasn't. The murderer held it. And there are no fingerprints on it.
Markham, was a man named Phil Terrace at the ringside?
Yes, he was. I questioned him myself. And the man next to him, too. According to that man, Terrace didn't move.
Well, perhaps that man works for Terrace, Markham, and is alibying him. Well,
that is possible, of course. I've let him go, but I know where I can pick him up.
Well, let me do that, please.
All right.
And Markham.
Yes?
There's a very charming young lady in your office who has a very good theory about Manning's death.
What's that?
Well, she seems to think that Manning was killed in error by somebody who wanted Joey Martin, the fighter, out of the way.
One of those prize fight gambler things that didn't work out?
It might be. That's why I asked if you questioned Phil Terrace.
I see.
Markham, from the look of things, if he killed Manning by mistake or intention, he did it in a way I can't figure out.
Which means what?
That he isn't only a gambler. He's a magician.
Vance?
Tonight, Clumpy, we celebrate the best in town for you and me.
That's what I like, the best.
You deserve it. You were wonderful when the district attorney was questioning you.
I didn't tell him nothing. And you know why? Because I don't know nothing.
I've heard rumors of that, Clumpy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm really getting around, ain't I? You know, somebody's at the door, Mr. Terrace.
Apparently, I'll go see who it is. I won't be long, and then we'll make plans for tonight.
For the best. For the best in town.
That's right. Yes?
Hello, I'm Philo Vance.
No kidding. What does that make me?
The man I want to see, I think.
That's right. What do you want here, Vance?
I'll tell you first what I didn't want. I didn't want the door closed in my face. That's the reason I pushed my way in.
Okay, you're in. You want to see me?
You're Terrace?
Yes.
I want to see you. Who's the ape?
He's Clumpy. He doesn't count.
Hey, I do so. One, two, three.
I see what you mean, Terrace. Let's skip Clumpy for a minute. I came here to find out if you bet the fight last night.
You don't know much about gambling, do you, Vance? The fight was declared no contest when Pop Manning was murdered.
How much did you have on the fight? And whom did you have it on?
Well, I guess you can check this around town, so I'll tell you the truth. I had a lot of dough riding on Joey Martin.
Who was losing?
Was he?
Well, sure he was, boss. You even said that yourself.
Shut up.
You know, Terrace, you might have been smart enough to want to kill Martin when he was in the ring, to protect your bet, of course. But when you saw Pop Manning move into the position Martin was in, you knew you could obtain the same result for stopping the fight by killing him.
I could save you a lot of trouble, Vance. The district attorney asked me all the stock questions. My answers were taken down. Go look them up. In fact, go do anything you want, only get out of here.
When I'm ready to leave.
Show him that he's ready now, Clumpy.
That's one invitation I'll accept. That takes care of your stooge, Terrace. You next?
No, thank you. I just like to watch fights.
And bet on them.
Yes.
Well, I've had my fun, so maybe I will be going. With a promise, of course.
A promise that someday we'll return again to the beautiful island of paradise where the blue...
I'll get that.
No, you don't. This is my house.
Oh, too late, my friend. Well, Joey Martin.
Who are you?
My name is Philo Vance. I'm investigating Pop Manning's murder. What are you doing here?
He came to see me, of course. We're friends, good friends. Come on in, Joey.
Yeah.
Tell the man we're friends.
Even if he did, who'd believe him with that look on his face? I think I'll leave you two playmates alone. I've met some interesting people, and I've established a motive for Pop Manning's death. Now, I think I'll get to work.
This is District Attorney Markham. The prize ring murder case began when Pop Manning, fight manager, was stabbed while in the ring taking care of his fighter, Joey Martin. Philo Vance has established that Manning might have been killed by accident, with Martin the real intended victim. He's also contacted a gambler named Phil Terrace, who had a lot of money bet on Martin to win the fight which he was losing, incidentally. Vance has just come into my office with a story of his encounter. Look, Vance, I understand all about your meeting with that gambler, Terrace, but I'd like to go back to the fight for a moment.
Well, they're not going to restage it just for you, my friend.
You know what I mean. When we were at the fight, and I said we'd have to look for the man responsible for Pop Manning's death, you said we'd have to look for two people responsible. Now, why two people?
What happened just before the stabbing, Markham?
What happened?
Well,
a shot was fired, but nobody was hurt.
But everybody's attention was distracted from the ring momentarily. Sufficient time for the killer to stab Manning.
Yes, I suppose so.
Therefore, the shot was planned, and planned for a certain time. Whoever fired it was working with the actual murderer and is an accessory to the crime. Simple, isn't it?
It is now. You'll be interested in knowing that I'm getting to believe your theory that Manning's murder wasn't intended.
I am interested, but it isn't my theory. It belongs to that Collins girl, Honey Collins, Joey Martin's friend.
Oh, yes.
But it has logic, believe me.
I do. I'll give you all the facts we have so you can go on from here if you like.
Are there any you haven't told me?
Well, I'm not sure, but this much I do know. It was very warm in the arena, as you know. And nobody, man or woman, wore gloves. Yet, there were no fingerprints found on the knife.
A handkerchief around the knife handle would keep prints off.
But you can't wind a handkerchief around a knife, step up and stab somebody without being seen or without the movement being noticed.
granting that everybody was looking toward the back of the arena where the shot came from.
I've already indicated to you that Terrace had an employee alongside of him who could have lied.
Yes, but I have the feeling that you're holding something back.
Really? Why, Markham, I'm surprised at you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know you don't intend to withhold
anything. Don't apologize, my friend. As a matter of fact, I am holding something back. Something that I hope will break this case.
You don't mind me talking to you while you're working out with the pulleys. Do you, Joey?
No, honey.
I'll tell you what I came up here to the gymnasium for.
You mean there was another reason besides just seeing me?
Yeah, Joey. I want you to fight somebody.
Somebody get fresh with you? Who is it? Tell me who it is. I'll knock him silly.
Nothing like that, Joey.
Huh?
This is a fight I want you to have with a pro. And we give the dough you get to Pop's family.
What for?
Oh, Joey, you know they could use dough.
How come? They got plenty.
Oh.
Pop had a lot of dough bet on the fight. That's dough that don't have to be paid out to nobody now since they call it no contest. Pop's family's got that.
How much was that, Joey?
You again. What are you doing here?
Hello, Miss Collins. You remember me, Philo Vance.
Hi.
Joey, you were saying that Pop had money bet on the fight. On you?
Who else?
How much?
$35,000, our bankroll. It ain't no crime to bet on yourself, is it, Vance?
No, but it is a crime for a fighter who claims to be honest to associate with gamblers like Phil Terrace.
You mean when you saw me up there yesterday? Well, I'll tell you why I went up there. I wanted to knock him from here to China for what he did to Pop.
Well, sure, Joey thinks Terrace wanted to kill him and got Pop by mistake. Like I told you.
Joey may be right. But then again, he may be wrong. But so wrong.
So long, Vance.
I said so wrong, not so long, Joey. You know, I was at the fight with Mr. Markham. I think I saw something.
Oh, from where you were sitting, you're lucky you saw the fight.
The seats weren't good, but they did put me at the scene of a crime. Something that hasn't happened for a long time.
So what did you see, Vance? Or what?
You'll find out. And so will your friend Terrace. And by the way, if you should see him...
I won't.
Well, if you should, tell him for me to enjoy himself.
Well, what kind of a message is that?
Oh, I haven't finished. Tell him to enjoy himself while he still can. Everything's working wonderfully, Markham.
All right, if you say so. Where are you now?
I'm calling you from a phone booth. I left Joey Martin and his girlfriend about an hour ago after giving them a message for Phil Terrace.
I beg your pardon. I'm afraid I heard what you said. What do they have to do with Terrace?
That remains to be seen. I indicated to them that I had something on the gambler. Hey!
Vance! Vance,
oh.
Are you there? Vance, what's going on?
No, it's all right, Markham. Somebody just opened the door of this phone booth and slugged me. But it didn't take.
I'm glad it didn't. Any idea who it was?
Yes, it was that stooge of Terrace, a fellow named Plumpy. You know what this means, don't you, Markham?
I think so. It means that apparently Terrace got your message.
You understand the setup, Miss Collins?
Well, I know. I don't know whether I do or not.
It's very simple. You get Joey and go to see Phil Terrace.
Uh-huh.
Have Joey say that he's ready to do business with Terrace. Get Terrace to make him an offer.
Well, I understand that part of it. Only, how is that going to prove he murdered Pop Manning?
I don't want Terrace around Luth while I close the case against him. Now, you do what I ask you to do. Markham and I will come in, and we'll be able to arrest him for trying to get Joey to throw a fight.
And then when you have him in jail, you'll be able to work out in the open.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
We'll take Terrace and his friend Clumpy to jail, and I won't have to worry about making phone calls anymore.
You're sure it was Clumpy that slugged you?
Positive. Now, will you do as I ask, Miss Collins?
Sure. Only, Vance.
Yes?
My friends call me Honey.
Hmm. We haven't really had time to become friends, have we?
Whose fault is that?
Well, let's just say there was a chronological obstacle.
Well, whatever it is, can't we kick it out of the way? I like you, Vance.
Hmm. What about Joey?
Oh, I like him, too. That's the trouble with me, I think. I'm a goon. I like everybody.
Just like Honey said, Terrace.
Yeah?
We could use 50 grand in cash.
Sure you could.
You can make that easy by betting against me in my next fight, and I take a dive, so you're a cinch.
I don't know, Joey. 50,000 is a lot of money.
Not when you figure to make 100 grand.
How do I know you won't cross me?
Leave that to me. He won't cross you, Mr. Terrace. Not when he gets 50,000 for not winning, he won't.
Now, the only thing is, I want the dough in advance. I want to bet it on the other guy.
Oh, you do? I just had an idea. Suppose I bet it for you, then in order to collect your bet, you've got to lay down.
Explain that to me, honey.
It's all right, Joey. Mr. Terrace, instead of giving you the $50,000 before the fight like you want, bets it for you. It's the same as you making the bet, and it's okay.
Well, what's good enough for honey is good enough for me.
It's a deal, then. Your fight is a week from Friday. I'm going to give you $50,000. I'm going to bet that much for you, I mean. And you're going to blow the fight. Agreed? Shake.
Okay, Mr. Markham, Mr. Vance, you can come in now.
Hey, what is this? The old double cross?
That's right, Terrace. Martin and Miss Collins agreed to help us trap you. It was Vance's idea, and it was a good one.
I don't think
you will.
Well, quite a right hand you have there, Joey.
Yeah? Thanks. Knocking out Terrace does mean we'll have to carry him to headquarters, but that won't be too difficult.
And when you've got him there, it'll be a cinch to prove he killed Pop Manning while trying to knife Joey. Won't it, Vance?
Oh, that will be a little difficult, Miss Collins.
You will?
Yes.
Hey, that was the idea of this whole gimmick, wasn't it? So it would give you time to get evidence or something against Terrace?
I can't very well prove he killed Pop Manning, Joey, when actually you did.
What?
You went Miss Collins.
Hey, Vance, you blowing your lid?
Without knowing why Vance said that, I'm still willing to bet it's right.
Well, I'm gonna...
I wouldn't, Martin, and if you don't believe me, believe this gun I'm holding.
All right.
You made me believe you thought Terrace killed Pop. Now you say it's us. Oh, how can you prove a stupid thing like that? What reason could you find for us doing it?
I have the motive and I have the proof. And as soon as Mr. Markham takes you and Joey and, of course, our friend on the floor down to headquarters, I'll be only too glad to explain how I knew you and Joey killed Pop, how you did it, and why you did it. Begin with the motive, Markham.
All right.
Joey was losing the fight. A fight he knew Pop Manning had bet their combined bankroll on, so he wanted the fight declared no contest.
So he killed his manager.
Yes, only it isn't as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the plan Joey and Honey had to be worked out in advance. And there was the detail of the knife to be handled.
Maybe you'd better just tell me what happened.
All right. Joey thought he might lose the fight. So he arranged with Honey to fire a blank cartridge at a certain time if he were losing.
Uh-huh.
She did. And he had a chance to stab Pop Manning and push the body back into the ringside customers while everybody was looking toward the back of the arena.
Honey's confession indicates that's what she did. But how did the knife get into the ring?
I think Joey will tell you he asked Pop to have a knife put in the water bucket. Made up some reason like wanting to be protected in case Phil Terrace tried to get to him. Anything at all.
Oh, I see.
Now you want to know how I knew Terrace wasn't involved in the killing.
And how you knew Honey was, but that can wait.
Well, let's take Terrace first.
All right.
When you told me that the man alongside of him swore Terrace hadn't moved toward the ring when the shot was fired, I pointed out that that man could have been an accomplice of the gamblers.
And he was. A fellow they call Clumpy.
But how about the man on the other side of Terrace, Markham? He wasn't an accomplice, was he?
No, he was a sports writer. Come to think of it, Vance, if Terrace had moved, he'd have told me.
I'm sure he would have. And now to our friend Honey. She tried to cover herself by insisting to me at one time in this case that she had never seen Joey fight and had never been in an arena. Yet she knew where you and I were seated at the fight, Markham.
That's right.
She told me in your office that she recognized me from my pictures. And later, in the gymnasium, she indicated that we couldn't have seen much from the bad seats we had.
And when she knew where we were seated, you knew she must have been there.
Must have been there, spotted us, but proceeded with her plan regardless.
Yes.
Anyhow, once I knew she was lying, I knew what the reason must be. And after I realized that the only man near enough to stab Pop was Joey, and that Joey was the only man outside of his opponent who wore gloves, hence no fingerprints, why, that was it.
So it was. Of course, that fellow Clumpy attacked you in the phone booth because you had knocked him out in front of his boss, and he wanted to regain face.
And I framed the situation involving Phil Terrace because he belongs behind bars. And to keep Honey and Joey from suspecting they were suspects in Pop's murder.
Yes, I know.
And, well, there you are.
Yes. You know where we are, don't you, Vance?
I think so. We're at the end of the prize ring murder case.
Oh. Going to do it for Case Closed this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Find more from Philo Vance, The Saint, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. You'll also find a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help support it all, please give that button a click. My thanks as always to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of old-time radio crime on Case Closed.